It is very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. By the way, we'll be giving you a little bit of an update later on what's happening in Coolock. I believe in the Crown Paint Factory, or the old Crown Paint Factory, where there has been an attempt to move in many refugees and asylum seekers. Locals in the area are none too pleased. So much so that somebody seems to have set fire to a JCB and other stuff within the area. We have people down there at the moment, and we will be talking to our reporter a little bit later on about that. But over the weekend, of course, you couldn't have missed the news in relation to the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, former president and presidential candidate. And for those of you who have been asleep for the last weekend, or maybe buried under a rock or something, or under a bed somewhere, and you missed that crucial moment, which was broadcast live all around the world, here's a little reminder of what happened.
If you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened. Oh.
Well, there you go. I mean, as you can see, there was about three or four shots fired off. Donald Trump literally moved his head a fraction of a second before the first shot. Everybody reckons if he didn't move his head at that particular moment, he would have probably got a bullet through the skull. But then the next three or four shots you hear are actually the Secret Service taking out the shooter, who is on a building 150 yards away from where Donald Trump was. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But the small Pittsburgh suburb of Bethel Park in Pennsylvania is now reeling after the FBI have named a young local man. Thomas Matthew Crooks is the man named as the person who tried to assassinate Donald Trump during a campaign rally, and it basically has shocked the whole nation. Investigators believe that Crooks, armed with a semi-automatic AR-15 rifle, opened fire at the former president while he was addressing the crowd in Butler, Pennsylvania. Now, political strategists often talk about campaigns in terms of moments, and they are points in time that, I suppose, change the political landscape, forcing those involved to adapt their behaviour to the new baseline. And the attempt on Donald Trump's life on Saturday night is the most significant moment in decades. That picture, of course, has gone viral of the flag in the background. It may well end up, I suppose, being a historic picture. And also, this particular event may end up actually putting him in the White House. But I want to get your opinion on it today. I'm not asking a specific question, but if you have any comment to make about what happened over the weekend, how the media handled it, etc., etc. Because, of course, the media have been very mixed in the way they're dealing with it. But it's clear that most of the media are Trump haters, and many are spinning it into he brought this on himself. Some, like CNN, are also homing in on the words that he used as he was walked off the stage by the Secret Service when he said, fight, 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 saying that it's inciting civil disobedience, which is not really what I took from it, to be honest with you. I think at that stage he thought his life was still in danger, and maybe he was just telling people to keep up the good fight, I suppose. But what did you think of the weekend's assassination attempt? One particular political advisor online had a go at Donald Trump and kind of said he was asking for it, because Republicans and people on the right are always using divisive language. Well, let's be clear. You know, Republicans and people on the right are not the only ones who use divisive language. If we look back over the last, particularly 18 months, there are many people who have called for the death of Donald Trump, and many people have said, take him out and things like that, including Madonna, who wanted to burn down the White House. So the lefties are not really innocent when it comes to threats. In a few moments, I'll talk to political commentator and author Michael Walsh. But first, let's have a look at what the lefties have said over the last 12 months.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
Well, there you go. That is, of course, the left. Now, there is no doubt, by the way, that Donald Trump has used quite a lot of divisive language, and I'm certainly not going to deny that. But one man who has a lot to say about the matter is Michael Walsh, a political commentator, author of many books. His latest book, of course, is called Against the Corporate Media. And he joins me on the line. Michael, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. It's good to be with you again.
Michael, I suppose this is the biggest talking point in America, probably in decades, when it comes politically, I suppose. And the political landscape has changed irreversibly. A lot of people saying this is going to make sure that Trump has a seat in the White House on the 5th of November. What do you think?
Well, it's still 4 months away till the election, and anything can happen, as we saw over the weekend in Pennsylvania. But I do think that July 13th was a turning point in American history. And for the reason that I'm very glad you showed that clip of the Democrats and their this climate of hatred that they have developed deliberately in response to Mr. Trump. This started the day he was inaugurated, actually before that, but a few minutes after he took the oath of office in January of 2017, there were already calling for his impeachment in the Washington Post. And I had partially a seat at the front row seat at some of the events of the last 4 to 8 years. And I can tell you that none of this is coming from the right. Any conservative in America will tell you, how many cities do you see burning, Niall, right now in the U.S.? None. Zero. The Republican and conservatives love this country. They believe in this country. They don't react violently to any provocation. Whereas the left, as we just saw in Paris recently, even won the election and they still rioted and burned. So the violence comes from the left, not the right.
But wait, when you see, you know, the agitators on the left, they seem to get away with it because we seem to remain silent because they call for people to be censored or people to be cancelled. Yet as soon as the right say something that they believe is divisive, or maybe it is divisive, they immediately call it out. But yet we don't seem to call out the left when we listen to those clips. I mean, they're bluntly, I mean, you had Johnny Depp calling for him to be assassinated. Madonna wanted the White House burned down or blown up, whatever it was. You know, you've got numerous commentators. These are political figures on television calling for him to be taken out for riots on the street. And yet if the right are to do that, they would be immediately cancelled for doing it. So why do you think we have that in society or in the media that it's okay if you're on the left to call for violence, but if you're on the right, you can't because immediately you're called out as extreme right wing?
Well, there is a certain Stalinist conformity to the media, not just here, but in Ireland and around the Western world. And as you mentioned, I have a new book, a collection of 42 essays by very prominent American and European figures talking about how the media hates the people that it delivers news to and how it is effectively an arm of the state. I think we see that in Ireland a lot. So this is something that concerns me as an Irish homeowner and part-time resident. Is that only one side of the story, with the exception of yourself and a handful of other people, Gripped Media, for example, is ever told. And the people get the sense that there's a seething cauldron of hatred in the United States and it's brought on by the conservatives. That's absolutely 100% false. And I'd like our listeners and viewers to know that the conservatives, as I say, are not rioting right now. They're not calling for anybody to be killed. And yet at the same time, the New Republic, which is an intellectual, small intellectual magazine here in the U.S., just put Trump on the cover as Hitler. Hitler. And they're always talking about a climate of hatred. And they're the ones who create this climate of hatred. And it's very important. All the calls for restraint come from the left directed at us after our presidential candidate has very nearly been assassinated. It was only luck or the hand of God or whatever.
That he turned his head at that particular moment. Yeah. I mean, the other thing as well, let's get back to the actual shooting itself. I mean, yeah. Elon Musk has called for the head of the Secret Service to resign, as have many other people. How does a 20-year-old kid, a strange 20-year-old kid who seems to have no social media whatsoever, okay, he's a signed-up member of the Republican Party, but that doesn't mean anything at all because many people in the States do that if they're Democrats, if they're in a particular area, to affect the primaries. So that's quite common. But so that means nothing. So he's really a nothing and nobody. He's just a head case, right? How does he get within 150 yards on probably what is the only vantage point building close to a presidential candidate, former president, when, you know, the Secret Service are there, when there's police there, and people, seemingly witnesses, said to the BBC, they saw the guy climbing up the side of the building with, you know, the rifle around his strapped to his back, and they warned the police and nothing happened. You can even see on the long shot at one stage when Donald Trump is talking about 30 seconds before the shots were fired, you can see the two Secret Service men at the top aiming, looking down their telescope or their whatever it is you call those things on a gun, off familiar with guns, straight at where the shooter seems to be. So it's clear they saw him seconds before he actually fired the shots. So is there questions or real questions to be answered? Why they didn't tell Donald Trump to get off the stage immediately because they knew something was going on? I mean, and how he managed to get into that position?
Well, okay, that's a complex question, but I'll try to sort it out quickly. Number one, like most presidential assassins or would-be assassins, he's a nobody loser and an opportunist. He knew that Trump was going to be there. He had no master plan. This is not some Tom Clancy thriller or Mission Impossible. These guys, like Lee Harvey Oswald did in 1963, read in the newspaper that President Kennedy was going to come by, noticed that he was going to drive right by his building in Dallas, took his rifle to work, and shot Kennedy. Now, we've upgraded our Secret Service protection since then. But the reason they're calling for the head of the Secret Services to resign is she's effectively an affirmative action DEI quota female appointee. The Biden administration and the left in general is always talking about how many women and how many blacks and how many minorities. They view these jobs as essentially patronage jobs to pay off their political base. So this woman had been a Secret Service agent. Her name is Kimberly Cheadle. She went to work for Pepsi Cola Company as the head of security, and then she came back and was appointed as the head of the Secret Service. As far as the snipers that you saw in position, they're always there. So it's not necessarily true that they saw him. In fact, the two sniper positions, only one had a clear view of the barn. So let's not mistake this. It's a catastrophic failure of preparation. Secret Service is usually very detailed, cuts off every possible, every closed window, anything that can possibly.
I know. I remember I worked in Club M in Bloom's Hotel when either Obama or Clinton, I think it would have been Clinton, I can't remember, was over, and the Secret Service were all over Dame Street because they knew he was going to be driving down Dame Street, and they were sealing manholes, they were spot welding manhole covers down. They came into Club M and they checked the basement. They checked every building within 100 yards or 100, you know, feet of where that car would be driving. So it just seems surprising to me in an open field where you've got one set of buildings, only the one set of buildings, and this one building, which is a main vantage point of 150 yards, that nobody managed to check it or that would be allowed to even happen. But look, they had been calling recently, of course, to remove Secret Service from Donald Trump or reduce the amount of Secret Service. Yeah. Does this mean now that has to be revisited, obviously, and they'll have to up their game when it comes to protection, and not only for Donald Trump, but obviously RFK Jr. as well? I mean, does that mean that they're now going to have to give him protection too?
Well, I think they certainly should give Bobby Jr. protection. I mean, he's an announced presidential candidate. He's the son of an assassinated presidential candidate, and he's the nephew of an assassinated American president. So you'd think if anybody deserved protection, it would be Bobby Jr. But Biden is a very nasty man. He holds grudges. He plays the long game of punishing people he thinks who have underestimated him or denigrated him throughout a very long career in the American government. 50 plus years, he's been mooching off the American taxpayer. And he's not about to give that up. I mean, I think we haven't touched on this yet, but you saw his disastrous performance in the debate against Trump, where the whole country finally saw that the media had been lying to them. about the president's mental state. And it's very prescient and lucky in a way that we came up with the idea for Against the Corporate Media, 42 Ways the Press Hates You, and that it should come out right now, just as the media has been revealed as the cover-up artists that they really are.
I suppose in relation to what happened over the weekend, it does take the focus off Biden a little bit, because, of course, the focus was on Biden all last week, particularly when he referred to President Zelensky as President Putin. Billy has just sent in a text. He says, I hope Niall will pull Michael up on the lack of violence from the right, the Unite the Rally, for example, in 2017. I mean, it would be unfair, Michael, to suggest there's never been violence from the right, because there has.
I can't really think of any. I suppose that's a reference to Charlottesville. Which
and the abortion clinic bombings, I suppose, would have been another one as well that I could think of.
Certainly. Listen, America is a very split country right now, and it's, in fact, I've said this to my Irish and European friends, it's as close to civil war as it's probably been since 1860. You have two almost irreconcilable views of the nature of government, the power of government, the importance of personal freedom or lack of the importance of personal freedom, certain rights that are enshrined in the Constitution, which are under attack. We're quite fraught right now, but the vast amount of violence, and I would say to your correspondent there, think about BLM burning the cities after a career criminal died at the hands of the police. Think about Antifa thugs taking over parts of Seattle and Portland, destroying buildings and attacking people. It's a vastly disparate proportion is on the left.
In relation to, I suppose, going forward, the strategy from Joe Biden now seems to be to kind of fall on his sword a little bit and talk about, you know, uniting everybody. Donald Trump himself has said he's now revisiting his own speech next week at a convention where he was going to be having a go at Joe Biden. And he says, I'm going to revisit that speech, rewrite it. And he says, I'm now going to talk about uniting people together. They both seem to now have the same strategy going forward.
Yes, well, I think Trump benefited, to go back to the debate for a minute, from the CNN rules that were imposed on him, where he wasn't allowed to interrupt Biden and he wasn't allowed to sort of get into a wrangling match with Biden, who's very good at these wrangling matches. So as a result, Trump has benefited up until the moment that this kid took a shot at him from having a lower profile. And it was Biden, may I remind everybody, who in his recent press conference spent after the NATO summit in Washington, spent almost all his time demonizing Trump. Biden hates Trump with a fiery passion, and he can't let it go because he's getting senile now, and he's got an old man's sense of grudge that he's got.
A lot of people are very focused on what he said, by the way, to his voters and donors when he said we need to take the focus off me and the debate, I need to put the bullseye on Donald Trump, or words to that effect. I mean, and they're using that now.
That's what he said, bullseye on Donald Trump. And he took that tweet down immediately on Sunday after the shooting.
The other thing as well, just briefly, because I have a lot of callers to go to, but the other thing briefly, Michael, as well, is the media and their role in this. Of course, CNN are kind of focusing very much on the words fight, 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 which is what Donald Trump said as he was being brought off the stage. I would have seen that personally. I interpreted that as, you know, keep up the good fight, so to speak. But they're interpreting it as, you know, incitement to violence or incitement to civil disobedience. Go ahead, sorry.
That's media projecting its own animus. One of the things that the left does in this country, and they do it all over the world, is how would they react? And they think that, and then they project that on their enemies. And we are their enemies. I'll tell you exactly what that meant, is that Trump was very vulnerable at that spot. He had just been knocked off his feet. He was surrounded by Secret Service agents who don't even come up to his shoulders, so he was unprotected. This is a catastrophic, as I said, failure of Secret Service protection. But what he was showing there was defiance in the face of an assassination. The left drives you insane because they're always projecting something that isn't true. And in this case, fight, fight, fight. I guarantee you, everybody on the right who was going to vote for him, and now a lot more people are going to vote for him, saw that as, you can't kill me. I defy you to do this anymore. Everyone, it is rooting for this man who, in a Teddy Roosevelt moment, Teddy Roosevelt got shot while he was giving a campaign speech and gave the speech and then went to the hospital. This was an example that I didn't think Trump, frankly, had in. He stood up.
The man seems reasonably fearless, doesn't he? I mean, most people would cower in the face of something like that and be off the stage and not even face the audience. He was determined, even though the Secret Service were pushing him back down again, he was determined to get above their shoulders, to let the people see that he was okay, and determined to let them know that he was continuing on and he wasn't going to stop.
Right. If he wins the election, it's precisely because of that very moment, him shaking his fist and saying, fight, fight, fight. He means fight for your country, fight for your nation, fight for your constitution. Don't give in to these people who just tried to kill me. I think it's a very important moment in American history.
Michael Walchison, thank you very much indeed, political commentator. And also the author of many books, his latest book, by the way, Against the Corporate Media. That's not available yet, Michael, but people can pre-order, I think, on Amazon, can they?
That's correct. It comes out September 10th, but you can get it right now and delivered right to your door on the day of publication.
Michael, listen, thank you very much indeed. It's been a pleasure to talk to you once again. Let me go, if I can, as well, to Gary Kavanagh from Grips Media, who also joins us. Gary, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hello, it's a pleasure.
Gary, I mean, look, you know, this, of course, kind of has swallowed up the media over the last 3 or 4 days, particularly the American media. Here in Ireland, of course, we've been watching across the Atlantic to see what's going on. It kind of guarantees Donald Trump a seat in the White House, doesn't it? It's kind of done him a huge favour, this kid.
I think this has been a massive help, I think, to the Trump campaign. Which is probably quite a strange thing to say about an assassination attempt, but I think it's helped him twofold. One, you have the assassination attempt itself, and not just that, but Trump's response to it. I've never seen someone take getting shot in the head that well, frankly. Mm-hmm. And this incredibly strong, I mean, the photos that come out of it are just incredible. Like,
oh, they're historic.
Pulitzer Prize winning.
Yes, absolutely.
And, I mean, I've already seen the jokes, which are that Joe Biden can't walk down a flight of stairs and a bullet to the head can't stop Donald Trump. And whatever way people want to think about politics and put it as this incredibly logical thing where you examine the policies, a lot of it is emotion and presentation. And the difference in the vitality of these two men, the difference in the strength of them and the courage, this just highlighted it in a way that I think nothing up to this point has been able to, because it was so visceral. So I think that's one way it's really helped him. But the way I think it's most likely to help him is this. A lot of the Democrats are seeing this and saying, oh, we're going to lose now. We're just certain to lose.
They've thrown the towel into the ring, really, haven't they, I suppose?
I think some of the Democrats I've talked to at a decent level, they have. And just because it was such a shocking moment. Now, you know, elections aren't over until they're over. Things can change. But at the minute, that's where they're going.
I heard an informer in the White House put out a statement seemingly yesterday saying that within the walls of the White House, they have resigned themselves to the fact that Donald Trump will be the president for the next 4 years. And they're now planning what they're going to do in 2028 or whatever it is the next election, or 2027, whatever the next election is.
Yeah, and I think that the really damaging thing for them this election is that, you know, maybe that'll change, maybe they'll get it together, they'll get a bit of fight back into them. But what it will do, I think, in the short term, and this is time sensitive, is the people who wanted Biden to go and someone stronger to come in, it'll weaken them. Because if they think they're going to lose anyway, they may as well run Biden, and Trump is very strong against Biden. And if that changes later on, they get a bit of fight back in them, the time period they had to replace Biden is gone. So I think this takes a lot of worry away from the Republicans that it won't be Biden they're against. It'll be someone stronger, someone better prepped, someone who can walk down a flight of stairs.
Okay, something you're very qualified to talk about is the media reaction to this. You know, the American media reaction, particularly the left-wing media reaction, has been focused very much on the thing, the fight, 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 which we've heard Michael talk about a few minutes ago, which I certainly didn't interpret as some sort of incitement to hatred or incitement to violence. I kind of interpreted it as keep the good fight going. I'm still here. I'm not going to stop. That's the way I interpreted it. But You can interpret any way you want. I've seen some political commentators leaning on the left in this country as well, you know, do the whole, well, you know, he kind of brought this on himself routine. And this is kind of typical. When we look at, you know, the way they talk about the right wing or the centre right, you know, they, you know, as soon as they step out of line or say anything divisive, you know, they're accused of divisive language and this is wrong and we shouldn't do this. Yes, the Democrats in America, for example, or even here, the left here in America, are guilty probably of more divisive language and straight to the point in America where they, many senators and Democrats in America have literally called for Donald Trump to be assassinated. And you heard Joe Biden there a few minutes ago has just removed a tweet he put up last week or 2 weeks ago, I think it was, saying we should put a bullseye on Donald Trump. I mean, you couldn't get it any more direct than that. But yet, they seem to get away with it. Why do the left get a free pass when it comes to divisive language? But as soon as the right say it, you know, all of a sudden you want to be cancelled or, you know, we got to silence this person or censor this person.
Well, they get away with it because they have more cultural power. That's basically the long and short of it. There's no fairness here. There's the fact that a lot of academia and a lot of the media are this way inclined themselves. So when people on their side say it, there's a lot more willingness to either report it sympathetically or say, oh, well, you know, maybe it was taken out of context. Whereas if you're on the right or you're coming from a different political perspective, you don't get that. You get jumped on. And it's, I think one thing that this is really highlighted is this language that they've been using about how Trump is a fascist, how Trump is Hitler. Now, first thing, if you spend years saying that someone is, you know, the birth of, or the rebirth of Hitler, he's going to destroy American democracy, and someone tries to kill him, I don't think you can be terribly surprised by that.
Yeah.
Because if people believe what you're saying he's an existential threat to democracy. But I think what this highlights is that these people don't really believe what they're saying. That they don't believe he's a fascist, they don't believe he's the end of democracy in America. And I think you can see that in the fact that they're now all wishing him well. That they're saying, you know, oh, you know, this shouldn't have happened.
Do you think some of them are biting their lip as they're wishing him well? I mean, do you think Simon Harris, for example, is biting his lip as he's wishing Donald Trump well, or President Zelensky, who probably wouldn't be the best friend of Donald Trump in the whole world? Do you think, mind you, Putin actually wished him well, but blamed Biden for this assassination attempt, saying that they have driven this hatred against him for the last 4 years, which is probably quite correct, actually, coming from a dictator. But I mean, they are right. They have driven this hatred against him. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, the man knows how to use divisive language himself. He's quite adept at that too. But they've driven the hatred against him, haven't they?
I think they have. And yeah, as you said, no one is saying that the right in America or Donald Trump haven't engaged in this kind of discussion. You've heard a lot about, you know, traitors to the country, threats to democracy from both sides. But I think what you've seen here, I mean, when Mitch Romney ran against Barack Obama, he was called a fascist. You hear exactly the same kind of language. I think this is just language that's intended to delegitimize. And basically what's happened is everyone knew it was just a useful lie that you said. And now it looks like someone actually thought it was the truth and they've acted on it. Mm. And everyone has to kind of pull back and go, no, when we said that, like, everyone knew that, you know, that was political. You don't actually try and kill the man.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
I mean, it's bizarre too that this kid that killed him, the 20-year-old, is a nobody. He doesn't even have a social media account, it seems. He managed to climb up a building with an AR-15 rifle on his back, even though the police were told that he was climbing up the building, which is a huge failing of the Secret Service, you know, to allow that to even happen. But it did, and they're calling now for the resignation of the head of the Secret Service in relation to that. But, I mean, this kid, the only thing the media in America seem to want to say about him is that he was a Republican. Now, let's be clear, I've spoken to American people. He's not a Republican. He just happened to be a signed-up member. And many Democrats sign up as Republicans on purpose to affect the primaries in their area. So that's quite common for people to do that. There are videos now circulating online of him passing by a group of Trump supporters, calling them a bunch of fascists. So clearly he isn't a fan of Donald Trump and never was.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've seen the people saying, oh, you know, he registered as Republican in 2020, 2021, and therefore he's on the right. I think if you have on one hand, you know, a party membership that he could have signed up to whatever reason to influence a primary, maybe, and on the other, you have trying to kill the Republican candidate for president, I'm going to say trying to kill the Republican candidate for president is probably the more indicative of his political position.
I would imagine so. So I suppose 5th of November now, 4 months ago, the presidential election, you heard Michael Walsh even suggesting that within the halls of the White House, they've now resigned themselves to the fact that Joe Biden is not going to be the next president of the United States of America. That's if Donald Trump survives the next 4 months, it seems. But In saying that, do you think they might replace him before then, or do you think he's in for the long haul? Do you think he'll stick out the 4 months?
I think what will happen is a little bit, if it continues as it is and what I'm hearing is correct, basically they'll keep him in place because no one wants to take it over from him to just lose the race. Mm. Like if you're Gavin Newsom or someone like that and they were trying to convince you, Trump is now going to grow stronger from this, as you'd expect. He's going to get a lot of public will behind him for how well he took it. And do you want to run to lose? No. So you let Joe Biden do it, and then basically you go, well, you know, we had no choice, and you know, we did the best we could with what we had. That gives everyone an opportunity to save face and walk away, save your powder for the next run. But just, I did want to mention, just on what you were saying there about the age of this guy. So this guy is 20. So ever since this guy has probably been 10 years old, he has most likely been hearing that Donald Trump is
a bad
evil,
man,
wants to strip the rights from people, is a threat to democracy. Like, he would have never known anything before that. And obviously we don't know what his intentions were. They haven't been made clear yet as to where he was politically, what was happening. But I can't say it's surprising that if you have spent basically all of the formative time of your life being told that this person is going to destroy this country, and I've heard people saying, you know, he's going to lead to a breakdown of order, there will be, you know, vigilante mobs shooting immigrants, insane stuff. Mm. And that is all you've known and all you've grown up in. The only thing I'd say, frankly, is surprising is that something like this hasn't happened before. Now, from looking at what happened, this appears to be a balls up of incredible scale on the part of the Secret Service. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I've been in locations where there have been Secret Service security arrangements. Mm-hmm. And these are not lads who go by half measures. So to see that they didn't secure a roof 150 yards away with a clear view of Donald Trump, it's just incredible.
The only buildings surrounding that field were these particular buildings. So you'd imagine somebody would say, what about those buildings over there? and what about the one right up the front that faces the stage? Should that be a good idea? Should we look at that maybe and have somebody standing there just in case? And the fact that this guy told the BBC, he told the police he's seen the guy climbing up there, and the police did nothing about it. And Donald Trump was still on the stage yapping away. This is about a minute and a half before it even happened. So it's quite shocking that it got to that point.
Yeah, I mean, there was the building behind them. They had a counter-sniper team on it. Mm. And what is being said, now I don't know if this is true, but this seems to be the current kind of topic of it, is that that area was considered to be outside the perimeter of the Secret Service security, and that was meant to be the local police. So they saw the guy, but they didn't know was he a police sniper, and so didn't take him out. Now, again, from the security arrangements I've seen with the Secret Service, you know, 150-yard away roof where you see someone that you don't know getting onto it, mm-hmm. I'm kind of amazed they just didn't kill him. And if it turned out to be a police sniper, well, you know, mistakes happen.
Yeah. It is quite shocking. But look, I'm sure we'll read more about it too in Grip Media. Listen, Gary, thank you very much indeed for coming on, and I appreciate you talking to us today.
All the best.
There you go. Gary Kavanagh from Grip Media. You can read more about it, by the way, in Grip Media, by the way, if you want to get some good impartial news, although people might not agree with me on that. They'll say, no, Niall, gripped her to the right. Somebody says, a Galway girl, by the way, says Trump was selfish by trying to shake off the security guards trying to protect him. Well, he wasn't, actually. It wasn't Trump that tried to shake them off. By the way, it was members of the Democratic Party who were suggesting that. He was putting their lives further at risk, which raises the question, why is his life more precious than theirs? I know it makes political sense, but on a human level, is it right that anyone should risk their life for money? Maybe a debate for another day. Well, it's not a debate for another day. That's their job. And yes, they put themselves, as they say, in the line of fire. That's what Secret Service do, Galway girl, because that is their job. If you don't want that job, you don't pay it, do it. And let me tell you, they get very highly paid for doing it. They're all wearing Kevlar jackets, by the way, or Kevlar, you know, bulletproof vests. So there's a less of a risk to them, but they could take a headshot. Absolutely. But that is their job. You've seen the movie, In the Line of Fire. That's what happens, or The Bodyguard. Let me go to Nicholas, if I can. Nicholas, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall. My God, where do you start with this? I like what Gary was saying there about the whole media circus around it and the weaponization of certain words and language. I think people underestimate how powerful that is and how the left media are really trying to distort the facts with some of the headlines. It's just incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a headshot. I don't know how many shots this guy got off, but
it looks like five. It looks like he got five shots. Yeah, unfortunately, and by the way, I don't want to miss out on mentioning as well that obviously an innocent person is dead. Two people and two other people are critically injured. They're still in hospital, I believe. So
It's just incredible, like that. The major security mistake that was made there, having this guy outside the Secret Service perimeter on a roof, being talked about by the crowd to the police. You can see in the videos the police walking around the building. There's something seriously, either it's a major fuck up, or, you know, without being conspiratorial about it, why would they leave such an obvious gap in security? You know, are the Secret Service and the local police not in communication?
I mean, they said this particular building was outside the perimeter, but in saying anybody with a half a brain, you know, would stand in that field and go, okay, they're the only buildings really that might have a line of sight. Yes, it's outside our perimeter, but can we just get somebody over there to keep an eye on that anyway? You know, you would imagine that would be just logical, wouldn't it?
It would. And just, there's something about this, about I mean, that iconic picture with the flag behind Trump with the...
That'll go down in history.
It should, but it showed something about Trump's character that people maybe... that he's a scrapper, you know?
Here's my thinking on it, right? When I saw that and you see that awkward picture of them trying to hold him down and he's trying to get up above them. Now, he's a tall man, of course. He would have been taller than all of them because he's 6'3" or something, right? So he gets above them, puts his fist up. You can see the blood running down his face, you know, and he says, fight, 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 right? Which, by the way, my interpretation of fight, fight, fight is not what the media and the left are saying, by the way, which is incitement to civil disobedience. Mine would be keep the good fight on. You know, if that happens to me, keep it
fight
going.
The good fight.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But here's what I'm saying is, here's a, what is he, 81 years of age? Is he now at the stage? Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And here, you know, he's a multi-billionaire. He could be lying on the beach somewhere, you know, in Jamaica, having a good time, drinking, sipping cocktails for the rest of his life. He doesn't need to work. And yet there he is on a stage, risking his life. So you got to say to yourself, he's doing it because he loves America.
Absolutely. And this is the thing, whether you like his politics or not, you know, you have to say this guy has character. He has, you know, he has determination and he believes in something, you know. The other person who was very, very commendable with was RFK Jr. Have I got the name right there? I mean, he responded like a really decent human being. He phoned Trump. He, you know, wished him well. He was saying prayers for him. But, you know, and we haven't heard much about him. And apparently Biden's refused him security cover as well, which, given his family history, is incredible. You know, the fact that his father and his uncle were gunned down in the fashion that Trump was.
Well, his uncle, of course, was an American president who was assassinated. His father was assassinated. Obviously not a president, but he was actually a presidential candidate at one stage. You would imagine they would be giving him the same type of security. I mean, these people deserve that security. Now, I know, you know, Galway Girl raised the point there. Why would somebody else, why are some people's lives more precious than others? And why would somebody put themselves in the line of fire? Well, that's the job, isn't it? You know what I mean?
I do believe that this Kennedy guy has great integrity and all of that as well, as I say. And I just wonder how this will affect his campaign, because he's been almost non-existent in terms of media.
I think his turn will be next time round. I don't think it's going to be this time round. I think maybe next time round. I think the problem with RFK Jr. at the moment for many people is, now, you know, it depends on how you feel about it, is that he focuses very much on vaccines. And he's kind of known as the anti-vax guy, which is probably unfair to him because he's a very knowledgeable man and he's very knowledgeable about a lot of things, including, you know, the war in Ukraine and everything else. So I've listened to some of his speeches and he's brilliant. He is really a great talker and he deserves a lot more credit than he's getting at the moment. But I think the problem is the focus is on Trump and Biden for this whole election, and it's going to be.
And I think RFK's stands on vaccines is, again, you look at his professional law career, he has been fighting the corporates who've been poisoning and damaging people with their chemicals. So, you know, he is very knowledgeable and he knows what he's talking about.
But the media have played a blinder on this one, the left-wing media, because, you know, they're doing everything in their power right up to, on the night itself, by the way, when it happened at whatever time, 10 past 6, right? Our time. Mm-hmm. You know, it took them nearly 2 hours to even admit it was a shooter, right? Yet everybody knew within 5 minutes because the Secret Service had verified. And actually, if you listen to the audio of the live event, which happened live on television, you can hear the Secret Service saying, shooters down, shooters down. So everybody knew it was a shooter, yet the media were very slow. CNN reported it an incident. Another major media source said Trump had fallen at a rally. Even RTE said an incident, or referred to it as an incident. Now, in fairness to RTE, I watched 6-1 News last night with interest just to see how they would report on it. And they were very fair last night. I normally don't say that. I wouldn't give RTE credit if I didn't need to. But they were very balanced and very fair. They didn't go into the whole fight thing. They didn't do any of that. You know, and they even talked about, you know, the failures of the Secret Service and everything else. So they seemed very fair in relation to the way they reported last night. But I can say that about American media, because they're very much focused on now the whole kind of aspect of, sure, didn't he bring it on himself?
Yeah, oh, listen, and there's a particular political commentator, which I won't mention his name.
An Irish one, yeah, I know the one you're going out, to. Is it?
You know, and appalling, I mean, the drivel that comes out of this person's...
Oh, I know the guy, you know, I know the guy you're talking about. Don't mention his name. Yeah.
No, we can give him any...
Yeah, he's an idiot. But stay there, Nicholas, stay there for a second, because I want to go to Jessica, and I have to go to Billy and Tommy as well. Jessica, hi, how are you?
Hiya.
Yeah, you're not a fan of Trump, but...
No, I don't. Like, sometimes I agree with him, then sometimes I think, oh, we'll just give over. But I don't want to see the man get shot, for God's sake.
No. I mean, what Michael said earlier on, or what Gary said, I was going to Gary or Michael, but Gary actually said earlier on, you know, when you've got people of your age, Jessica, you know, have been raised for the last 10 years hearing in the media, Trump's a bad man, he's going to destroy democracy... What else could you think about him, apart from not like him?
Yeah, well, you could argue that there's probably worse people out there than him. Like,
well, there clearly
100%
is.
100% there's probably worse people than Trump or Biden.
Mm-hmm. And when you watched on Saturday night, did you kind of feel sorry for him?
Yeah, I honestly did. Because at the end of the day, and I know it's going to sound like a silly kind of excuse or anything, at the end of the day, he has his kids, like, and I think his youngest fella is, like, what, I think 15 or something, 16.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one wants to see their dad get shot on telly. Never mind get shot in general.
Mm-hmm. And do you think the people who protect him failed in their duty?
I think it could have been maybe a little bit faster, but
okay.
That's just my. He's lucky to get out with just a clip on the ear.
Well, he was. If he hadn't turned his head at that particular moment, I think he would have got a bullet in the skull. Jessica, thank you for that. Let me go to Tommy and then Billy. Tommy, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Noel? You well?
I'm good, Tommy. You've been listening to Nicholas there, Gary from Grip Media, and also Michael Walsh before that as well, you know, talking about this and how the media have behaved in relation to this particular incident. Yeah, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, when I woke up Sunday morning and I was flicking through the channel, and I think it was Sky News that were showing the clip, I went straight to YouTube. So what does that tell you? I always go to YouTube for my news now.
Right, okay.
Look, if the liberal bias and liberal arrogance created a character that was needed like Donald Trump. They needed that to counter Barack Obama, and they needed that to counter Hillary Clinton. What Donald Trump has shown to me is, and shown for the Republican Party, is how the difference in patriotism between the Democrats and the Republicans. Like you see with Barack Obama, and the guy mentioned it, when Black Lives Matter was a big issue, Barack Obama and the media came out and they hounded their own police force across the country. Mm. And cities were set on fire.
Demanding to defund the police. Have you ever heard that in so crazy in all your life? Yeah.
He came out and said, Trayvon Martin looks like me. Barack Obama, when he was elected, he said, we're 90% there with racism. We're 10% to go. Gets elected. His polling figures are going down. And all of a sudden, he's playing race card after race card after race card. If Donald Trump was, if there was a black candidate that got shot at, I don't know what would have happened.
But they do give out to Donald Trump, too, by the way he talks about Mexicans, you know, the way he refers to China.
Hold on, Noel. A lot of that is misquotes.
He calls the, you know, the people who come across the border from Mexico, you know, to be fair, he refers to them as people from insane asylums and rapists and criminals. And now, I know there are rapists and criminals, and I know there are people who may have been in an asylum, but they're not all that way.
Yeah, but he didn't say all.
I know, but do you think, I mean, okay, there's no doubt that he does use divisive language, Tommy. You know, I mean, look, we've all used divisive language sometimes to get our point across. Yeah, but I mean, what they're essentially saying is it's okay for the left to do it, but not for the right.
Exactly. Look, it just shows the strength of the Republican Party at the moment. Look, the Liberal media have turned on Joe Biden the last month out of blue. All of a sudden, they're hammering him over. They're not going to bring up Gavin Newsom. They're going to get. I think they're going to push a woman. I think that's
no, they won't. No, they're not going to do anything. Now they're not going, because I can tell you now, there is no Democrat will now want to run against Donald Trump because it would destroy their credibility. So that's not going to happen. Joe Biden is in now for the long haul. I can tell you now, the Democrats have resigned themselves to the fact they're not going to win this election.
But I tell you, if Donald Trump's political advisors are any way smart, if he comes out and makes a speech like Bobby Kennedy did after Martin Luther King was shot, if he comes out and says, we need to reunite, we need to defuse.
But that's what he's doing.
Well, if he comes out and if he keeps hammering that message, he's going to be president, no problem. All he has to turn around and say, look, I'm willing to take a bullet from your country.
Hey, but by the way, just Nicholas, coming back to that point, Tommy, thank you very much indeed. I want to come to Billy in a second, but Nicholas, just that point. Donald Trump has said he has rewritten his speech for the convention next week. He's taken out his attacks on Joe Biden, which he would normally do, his attacks on Joe Biden, and he's replacing that with uniting a nation. You know, this has been done in the past historically. It's been successful. If we look back for Teddy Roosevelt and also Ronald Reagan, both of those topped the polls and, of course, won by a landslide after they had, you know, their assassination attempt. So you could kind of say it seems to be a clear-cut case, but is that a good strategy now? To coast, coast, as they say.
Absolutely. It's a no-brainer because they've opened all the doors for him now. I mean, I actually think he was going to win anyway, but now I think it's an absolute certainty. And all he has to do is just say the right things. He doesn't have to fight Biden. He doesn't have to say anything bad about anybody or negative. He doesn't even have to kind of, you know, use any kind of strategic, you know, defense against himself. He just has to get up there and say all the right things that Americans like to hear about, you know, country patriotism and make America great again. And I think he was going to win anyway, but now it's pretty much a done deal.
Another assassination attempt, a successful one. Yeah, but let me go to Billy as well. Billy, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you keeping?
I did ask him that question, by the way, that you sent in, Billy, in relation.
And thank you for doing so. And I was referring to the Unite the Right rally in Charlotte in North Carolina in 2017, which Trump said that there are good people on both sides at the end of that rally. Mm. So he did not categorically condemn it. Yeah. The right wing.
By the way, Billy, I'm not suggesting Trump is innocent. I'm not suggesting.
No, I'm not saying you are. And I to put my cards fully on the table, I find Trump to be an odious individual. I am disgusted by him, by some of the things that he has said. I think he is a political opportunist, and I think he is a populist. I do not think he or Joe Biden should be running for president this time out, I think.
But the left and the right can be populist, Billy. You know, they can be equally populist. I mean, look at the stuff that's right. That video I played earlier on of Democrats and some of the things they've said about Donald Trump. And, you know, Gary made a really good point.
Let me finish. If I may, you did not play the video that I sent in to you about the NRA, the Republican-backed NRA, putting an effigy of Joe Biden for Republican supporters to kick the living shit out of. That was posted on YouTube, was posted by The Guardian and others. So, you know,
I'm not saying there isn't, but the point I was trying to make, the only reason I played that particular video was that the left aren't innocent when it comes to divisive language, because they basically proclaim that they are somehow innocent when it comes to divisive language. They're equally as divisive, if not more sometimes, but yet they seem to get a free pass. But just in relation to what Gary was saying, and Gary from Grip Media made a really good point in relation to language that's being used, etc., etc. This 20-year-old, this nobody, absolute nobody, that came, you know, has no social media account, just seems to be like an angry, mixed-up 20-year-old. You know, he's been told for the last 10 years by the American government, you know, that Trump is a bad man. He's a bad man. He'll destroy democracy. And when you grow up thinking that, I'm being told that constantly in the media all the time. And let's be clear, CNN had a field day while he was in office. They said he'd be impeached from the moment he went in. He didn't. He lasted the full term. So what I'm saying is, when you're being constantly told that your president or your presidential candidate is a bad man, you eventually start to believe it if you're a young person.
So Niall, this, and I don't know if this is true or not, this individual who carried out the shooting, firstly, to categorically condemn violence. I think violence on the left and violence on the right is completely uncalled for. Politics is politics. I don't think anyone should be killed for their political viewpoints or killed for backing a political ideology one way or another. I'd hark back in the UK where David Amos, a Conservative, and Joe Cox, a Labour member, were both killed in their constituency offices by two individuals who were of polar opposites.
But Joe was killed out on the street. She was killed out in the streets, wasn't she?
Killed on the street without her front door, beg your pardon. But it is a case that political violence and murder of politicians is wrong. Outside our Dáil in September of last year, Michael Healy-Ray was harassed by a crowd accused of being a traitor. I think that type of divisive political language is very dangerous and will lead to political violence in this country as well. So,
I've always said I don't agree with people protesting outside politicians' front doors or their homes or whatever it is. You know, you take your protest to the government building.
Setting up a gallows outside the Dáil, Niall, like that is wrong. That is absolutely wrong. It is dangerous. It is violent ideology that needs to be stamped out. This gentleman who shot at Trump and has died.
You used the word gentleman there, by the way. Can I just point out? Sorry.
Well, I'm using it flippantly. This person, this individual who shot at Trump, is apparently a member of the Republican Party.
That means nothing. That means nothing.
It means nothing, and it's been said that he has donated to
$30.
A Democratic PAC as well. Yeah. So, you know, we don't really know what his political ideology is.
But Americans will tell you that the reason people register as Republicans, if they're Democrats, is to affect the primaries in the area. That it's quite common for people to do that. So, you know,
and it can happen.
Yeah, I take that with a grain of salt. It doesn't matter which party. It's quite clear, by the way, which party he hates. So, I mean, which is the Republicans.
Well, because it's quite clear which candidate he hates now.
Yeah, well,
not only that,
there's videos now circulating of him walking down the street with a lot of Trump supporters shouting at them, calling them all a bunch of fascists. It's quite clear which way he leans. He leans to the left.
But
it's irrelevant. He's a psycho. It doesn't matter whether he's left or right. He's a psycho.
It doesn't matter if he's It doesn't matter left or right. It doesn't matter if he's a Democrat or if he's a Republican. He is an individual who took a shot at a political candidate for political reasons. Same as Lee Harvey Oswald or John Wilkes Booth. They were not sane individuals. They had a grudge against the person. It didn't matter what political party that person subscribed to. It was a case that they took it upon themselves to do something which was completely wrong.
Okay, in relation to where we go from here, I mean, there's nobody now going to want to take over from Joe Biden. This is now a poison chalice.
I've been of the opinion for months of an American friend who's quite disgusted with me when I said to him, I think Trump is going to win this election. Not that I want Trump to win this election. I think Trump is going to win this election.
I think he had it in the bag after the debate, but I think he completely has it
in the
bag.
No, I think he had it in the bag. I think he had it in the bag before the debate, Niall. I think two octogenarians going for political office in a country, if that's the best that America has.
He was the better of the two, is what you're trying to say to me.
But it doesn't, my point is not, it's a sad state of affairs where the best that a country can offer is two gentlemen in their 80s, both of whom I would question whether they are cognitively fully there. And I've seen some of Trump's rallies. He does not make sense sometimes. He is as bad as Biden. It's just not as reported as widely.
He's not as bad as Biden. We just stop out of that,
baby. Excuse me, Niall. He is as bad
as
Biden.
Poor old Biden. The man can't even string a sentence together, for God's sake.
Yes, and poor old Trump doesn't know where he is most of the time either.
Cite your source here, Billy. Cite your source. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've heard Trump not making sense.
YouTube videos. If I send you the YouTube videos of Trump not making sense, will you put them on your podcast and play them out for people to see?
I will. I have heard Trump not making sense. I'm not denying that. I've heard him, you know, make a few gaffes. Every political spokesperson makes every rally.
Okay. Every rally. Okay.
And I've heard him meandering sometimes, as older people do meander. But I have to say, for mental and physical health, he is way ahead of Joe Biden. Would you stop out of that?
But that's a low bar to set, Niall.
It is a low bar to
that
set.
That is a low bar to
when you're talking about 80-year-olds.
Being way ahead of Biden does not mean that you are the panacea and the pinnacle of mental and physical health.
I watched Joe Biden the other night on Saturday night after he came out for the first press conference at about 8 or 9 o'clock, whatever it was, when he wouldn't admit that it was an assassination attempt. Anyway, he had a pair of runners on him, like the runners I bought the other day, actually, a pair of blue runners because I like my soft shoes. But he shuffled onto the stage and he shuffled off like a little robot. No, it's just bizarre to watch his behaviour.
The thing is... There is a sycophantic support in the Republican Party for Trump. I would be much happier to see a politician like Nikki Haley go forward for the Republican nomination.
But she's not a Republican. She's only Republican by name. stay there for a second, Billy. Let me go to Bernie.
You need to stop watching Fox News.
She may as well be a Democrat. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
You heard, Billy, that, you know, Ellen's basically a Hobson's choice when it comes to the two of them. But in relation to what happened on Saturday, what's your reaction been to that?
Very mixed. I mean, I don't follow any American politics at all. I know who Trump is, but it's no interest. I mean, you talk about aging there. I mean, look at our young age group, and they're useless. So it doesn't matter what age they are, they run a country. Definitely Joe Biden is struggling mentally and cognitively. That's what it looks like to me. And I think that Trump he's got the voice and he's got the mental, you know, stubbornness. He's a very stubborn man. He's going to get it done and that's it. I don't know anything about it, only that it's not right to kill it, try and take another human's life. Like they did the Pope as well before. Like anyone in the public arena seems to be fair game for anybody who's a bit cracked. Yeah. And it's not right.
No, it is actually quite disturbing that somebody would go. Well, clearly people who do something like that are quite disturbed in the first place. I mean, this 20-year-old that did it was quite disturbed, clearly.
Now, and I mean, that's no human, every human life is sacred. Mm. And like, you know, when you put yourself out there, or if you're a multi-billionaire or trillionaire or whatever the new term, you are going to be game for anybody. It doesn't matter if you're in the public, you know, arena, or you're in, you know, you're those guys who run the media.
Yeah, I think everybody who's running for election or who's in election, I mean, not that I thought I was going to be assassinated or anything like that, but even when I was doing my campaign, we had a strategy that there are people out there who dislike me. I'm well aware of that. And that's fine too, okay? Yeah. Because people are allowed to dislike me and dislike my opinions. So for that reason, when we were doing our campaign, we never announced where we were going. We only announced after we'd been there and put up pictures afterwards. So what I'm saying is, and many politicians will do the same thing, by the way. It's quite common to do that, not to pre-announce where you're going to go. Because there are people who don't like you. And I'm not saying people trying to assassinate me. I'm not picking myself up as being some sort of important person or something like that. But you don't want to get someone like, you know, give you a box or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, they are in the public arena. Like, I mean, they want to be the leaders of their country. Like, we have people in their 30s and 40s running our country currently. And me personally, they have no experience to run a shop. You know, they wouldn't be able to run the lane outside the shop. But at the same time, they're the people who are in power. I mean, there's no chance they should not be, you know, where we're angry and annoyed. They should, their houses shouldn't be, you know, fair game for all of us.
No, I don't agree with that. Yeah.
I don't agree with that. I think that's wrong. And I think
you go outside. They have constituency offices, or you can go up to the Dáil if you want to, whatever it is. But you don't stand outside somebody's house. They have a wife, they have a family, maybe a husband, whatever, I don't know, and a family, their kids, you know, they're not part of it. They just happen to be by married to them or whatever it is, you know.
And like, I do feel so sorry for the people who went to support him and got killed. Like, that's really wrong. Mm. Like, they were innocent people who wanted to, you know, it'd be like any of us who wanted
to. One of them is a firefighter, unfortunately lost his life. He happened to be behind him or you know, across from him. Because you've got to remember, there was 5 bullets fired. So, by the way, just to mention, in case people didn't know, as far as I know, I'm still aware, there's still 2 people critically ill in hospital. So, you know, that list of people who died could go up. Bernie, thank you for that. I'm sorry I'm trying to rush to everybody. Suzanne, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall. Oh, my God. Where do you begin on this? Just to start, Niall, very quickly, I was never a Trump fan a couple of years ago. But, you know, just to see the way things have unfolded in the States, and I would say now I've done a 360. I think the key points for me, I've been on this for most of the weekend just because I'm just fascinated. Mm. First thing is not the news. Obviously, like, Twitter is now the main news source. And, you know, to see CNN the other night initially saying he'd fall at a rally, you have Elon Musk who endorsed him. But the way I feel now, as you said, Niall, Trump is a billionaire. He could be playing golf and enjoying life. There's something in me that has changed that has said this man really, A, has experience.
Remind me to call America.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I do apologize. Sorry about that.
I'm just saying he could be doing other things, Niall, and he's not. But I'm just, like, my own view on it is, right, this shooter, the shooter guy, 20-year-old, I just don't believe he came from nowhere that day, got into that rally with his gun, and was able to get up on that roof. I don't believe that. And I've been on a lot of sort of spaces over the weekend with Marion Nepal and Alex Jones just listening in. He was in an ad for BlackRock back in 2022.
Right, yeah. I saw the video. I also saw a video this morning of him, you know, walking past Trump groups or of Trump supporters going back last year, calling them all a bunch of fascists. So he was clearly a bit of a lefty. Now, he registered as a Republican, but maybe that was by a strategy. But he was clearly a lefty. But I don't believe there's any conspiracy theory, Suzanne. I believe he was just a head case, a 20-year-old head case who was raised his whole life thinking Trump's a bad man and wanted to kill him. So I agree with that, Niall.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But I'm saying, Niall, I just can't see how... we've all talked about it here, how the Trump rallies are always very tight security, and you know that. I just can't understand how the security, the FBI...
Oh, no, they should resign.
The head, that happen.
Yeah, well, like, I suppose they've called for the head of the Secret Service to resign, and I don't disagree with that. They should resign, because it was a disaster.
Do you think it was incompetence, Niall, or did they just turn a blind eye? Was it a bit like, we have to defend this Trump, because let's face it,
I think it was incompetence. I think sometimes, you know, I would look at all kind of different theories in relation to things, but I think sometimes you just have to put things down to incompetence. And I think this was clear incompetence. The very fact that they were warned, there was people shouting at them saying they saw the guy climbing up the roof, and yet Trump was left talking on the stage, that's incompetence. The police should have immediately radioed over the Secret Service.
Fuck, Trump, Gavin,
I do apologise. They keep turning back on the other line of me there. I do apologise.
But now, just to my final point, you asked the story about the news. I think what this has done is expose, like, whatever people think about being fed news, like, it's the news coverage on this, and I know you said RT came out last night, thankfully they did, but the news coverage everywhere for the first, like, sort of 6 to 8 hours after this was, wouldn't use the word assassination. I find that really bad. The other thing I would say is, like, they are saying in a lot of the spaces, like, this is probably going to be the first attempt of many, because they do want to take him out. Like, there's no doubt at this point.
Well, I think, unfortunately, the only way that Joe Biden is going to win the election is if Donald Trump doesn't exist anymore. Suzanne, unfortunately, I'm running out of time rapidly here, and I need to just get over to another story, which I know you'll appreciate. And thank you to everybody. Remember, we can't provide this show unless you support us. We don't have advertising, so we rely solely on your subscriptions and donations. I put a post up there on Twitter earlier on, because obviously we need to have the money to pay the bills at the end of the month. It's not good. It's very difficult for us to do this. There's three of us work on the show. We don't get paid. We have our own full-time jobs. Mind you, I didn't have a full-time job for 8 weeks when I was campaigning for elections, so I lost quite a substantial amount of money. So please, and by the way, for those who said, somebody said, I said that last week, sir, but don't you get your money back, Noel, because you went over 16,000 votes. We get the money back that I spent on the campaign, but I don't get the money back that I lost in wages. The money I spent on the campaign was money we spent on the campaign, you know, which was donations from people, thankfully, by the way. And it was also in relation to costs. That money is gone. We owe that money. So the only money, I don't get back any money personally. I don't make any money out of it, and I don't get paid for the time that I was off work. I have to use up holidays, or I lose wages. So unfortunately, I don't get paid for that. So please do support us. It's been a difficult time for us over the last 2 months. And I did it all for the right reasons, I promise you. You know, I wasn't going to go off and join some party that I shouldn't have in Europe. I did it all for the right reasons, because I have a passion for this country, and I believe somebody needs to be standing on your side. So that's why the podcast is here, to give you an opportunity to air your views. So please support us. A fiver, a tenner, whatever you can donate, please do it on the website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. You can do it on the website now, or you can subscribe for the price of a cup of coffee once a month. It's like us sharing a cup of coffee between the three of us for $5.99 from Starbucks. So please subscribe if you can, either monthly or yearly, and support the show. Please go to the website, nileboylan.com. I can't urge you enough to do that. Without that, we cannot operate this show on a daily basis. Thank you to everybody got involved. Gary Grip from Grip Media, Gary Kavanagh, and also Michael Walsh, the author, earlier on, for talking about Donald Trump. Thank you to everybody. We should talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.